Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Modern Loving Family podcast, where we talk about all things polyamory, parenting, queerness, and love in the modern age. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Modern Loving Family. I am your host with the most experience hinging within a polyamorous context, Jamie. Welcome back.
Hello, Jamie.
Oh, is this where it becomes a support meeting?
You're looking absolutely lovely this evening.
Oh, well, thank you.
That's how the support starts.
Yeah, exactly. So,
if there were any brighter star, it would be dimmed by your light.
Wow. What do you want?
World domination.
Well, everyone, welcome back. Let's introduce ourselves in case you're new here. Maybe this might be the first podcast that you're listening to. I don't know your life, so go ahead.
Hey, everybody. I'm Carl. It's good to see you guys. And I bring along with me my stroke from 4 months ago, Bob. Fuck you, Bob.
Well, we're off to a rolling start.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kendi, and I didn't break the fuck barrier first.
Which is actually really quite stunning, because of everyone, I figured it would be you.
You know what else is stunning? You.
What do you want? Good Lord. Okay. World peace? I can't do that or domination, but I really do stand by the fact that if people would just make me the ruler of the world, then we would have a much better place. I can't say for certain, but I'm, like, relatively sure.
I ship that.
I realize that this is a really hard sell. Anyway, so we are rejoining you tonight after a hiatus of sorts, as we have had many life things go on.
Anxieties.
Oh, my God. So much anxiety. I have had anxieties in the past, like, 2 months that I didn't know that I could have. It's been a learning, it's been a growing experience, but I really didn't want to grow in that way, just to be clear. We're trying to shrink the anxieties, we're trying to grow the resilience. So, it is time now, friends, guests, ladies, and gentle thems, for a State of the Polycule address. Thank you. Thank you for that. I really do wish that we had had something queued up, like, but honestly, yeah, we can absolutely fix it in post, or we can just, like, amplify that, because that was actually, I think, the vibe I'm going for.
Yeah.
So, thank you for that. Yeah. I'm impressed. So, the State of the Polycule address. Well, currently, if we sound a little loopy, it's because we all have COVID. So, this is round three for me. Two for you, because somehow you escaped it the first time.
I don't know how.
But I don't know how either, and I'm actually still impressed. And I think it's only round two for you, because I think you escaped it.
Official two.
Yeah. I think that you were like...
We treated two as though I had it. I don't think we ever really officially confirmed.
Yeah. Weird. Fortunately, we all have mild cases, but yeah, as you might imagine, having the Rona and also having two little ones is a trip, and it's one of those instances where I can absolutely say with the utmost confidence, that these three children, or these two children, rather.
It's the vid, man.
These two children need three parents at minimum, so.
Bear.
Yes, 100%. We moved.
Did.
Yeah.
We moved and bought a house.
We bought a house, folks.
Done some major adulting.
We did. That was some real hardcore adulting there. Oh, every step of the way. But we have a house now, and that's cool.
Yeah. The mortgage process was really good every step of the way.
Yeah, and we definitely, if you're local to Arkansas, we have a recommendation for that for a person who's polyam friendly, queer friendly, all the identities under the umbrella friendly.
Just the adulting part sucks.
Yeah, absolutely. But that always sucks. So.
True. But it could have been far, far worse.
Oh.
Without the support of the friends that we had that were carrying us through.
Yeah, definitely. What's your favorite part of the new house? Like, what's your favorite thing about living here now?
I love seeing the children have their own space and be able to play together really well. and just, you know, learn, live, grow, all of that. I look forward to seeing who they become within this space.
Yeah. That's a really nice thought.
Yeah. Mine's kind of a two-parter. It piggybacks off what Carl said. I love seeing the kids have space to run around the backyard and imagine and create.
We have a backyard.
They can do those things, and they can pick up dirt and make their imaginations run wild. And the second part is making our really, like, our neighbors really question their choices about, like, even introducing themselves to us. Because, like, the first moment I was like, yeah, this is who I am. This is my partner. This is their partner. This is our family.
And then they saw you making out with somebody else in the driveway. But that is, we're getting to that point. So we're not going to rush that.
But we have staked the flag in the front yard and claimed our house on behalf of the queers.
We have indeed. This house came with a giant flagpole in the front yard. And I know that some of you might be shocked to hear this, but we're not really particularly fly the American flag on our lawn people. I know. Contain your shock. So yes, we do have a progress pride flag up. And that's definitely one of my favorite things. I will say, like, I had a moment of just absolute peace the other day with all of us out in the sunroom. We have this glorious sunroom out at the back of our house, and like, that has become my favorite room, and just all of us being there and filling it with good energy just, I don't know, made me feel really good. So,
getting unpacked and getting set up.
Jamie,
you have been the queen of everything in making this house the home
that
it has become in a very short time.
Thank you
for all of that work.
Thank you for going along with all my harebrained schemes, which included painting rainbow bookcases like the week that we moved in.
if for anyone who knows you, when you want something done,
I get it done by any means necessary, and woe betide you if you get in the way.
I'm here for enabling all of that shit.
Thank you for that. Thank you. So yeah, we moved. We bought a house. We're living here now. We're loving it. We're having a commitment ceremony sometime in December. We haven't figured out when yet, but we're figuring it out.
But we plan on hosting it here.
Yeah, because why wouldn't we?
We got the yard.
Yeah, and we are not going to be able to afford anything else.
No. But we want to bring the happiness and good vibes and good energy into our space.
Yes, we definitely want to fill this space with good energy. And I think that that's going to be another big step in, like, making this space our space, even though I think that we are off to a pretty good start. So, other bit of Polycule news, which you may have seen, I think I called it the boyfriend-girlfriend soft launch.
I think you did, yes.
So we had a great week this week. We all watched the eclipse together as a Polycule, which was amazing. If you are tuning in from other parts of the world, we had a total solar eclipse here in the States, and our home was in the path of totality, like smack dab in the middle of it. And so we all decided to get together, kind of spur of the moment, actually, as a Polycule. Yeah. Like, the three of us were planning to be here with the kids, but then Sean and Lisa decided to come up too. So yeah, we have, Kindy and I, rather, have a boyfriend and girlfriend. So Kindy, how are you, how are you feeling about that?
You know, this is a first for me.
Yeah, it is.
I have not been engaged with another relationship outside of you for a big chunk of our relationship.
Correct.
I've had a couple of here and there, but they've never been...
You've had situationships and long distance.
Right. So this is my first, like, non-situationship, but and close enough, like, to be, you know, this works for everybody. So it's a new experience for me.
And yeah.
I've approached this with a lot more consideration than I have in the past.
You have been more mindful, yes.
Yes, and I'm trying to grow every day.
There's always room. There's always room for more, buddy.
Yes. Dear listener, there's always room for more. But no, I this is, again, it's new for me, but it still feels very comfortable. And so I've been very, very happy with how things have been going.
Yeah. And I mean, part of that is that We met these folks a couple of weeks before Bob. And so, like, we hadn't gone out with them or anything. And I was like, oh, I'm going with my partner to Vegas. We're going to celebrate our 2-year anniversary. Let's get a beer when I get back. Awesome, yeah. And then it was, oh, God. But no, I mean, I was really appreciative because, like, in that first 24 hours after Bob, where everything was on fire and I was out there by myself and didn't know what to do and was just like, I need Kendi out here and I need my baby. I need them out here. And so, like, my first instinct, because, like, I had been texting back and forth with Sean primarily, who had been checking on me, and I was like, you work from home. Can you take Kendi to the airport? And there was, like, no hesitation, did it. I mean, and just, like, that, like, small gesture and just constantly checking on us through that process really meant a lot. Obviously, when we came back, it was not, like, an immediate...
How you doing?
Let's go grab a beer. Instead, it was I just went through this incredibly traumatic thing, and I'm dealing with a very rapid onset life change. So we're going to have to take things at, like, a snail's pace kind of thing. But I guess 4.5 months is enough of a snail's pace. And we have officially embarked upon this thing.
Relationship chatting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Me too.
It's scary as fuck, but it's also very exciting.
Exhilarating and terrifying.
Oh my God. The anxiety. Which we'll unpack some more of that. Maybe a little bit later, but also, like, there's definitely going to be another episode about this. So, what are your initial impressions?
I think I don't know Sean and Lisa very well. Certainly haven't had the same kind of interaction that y'all have.
Yeah.
They seem very awesome, and they have been very cool with me and my feelings throughout all of this.
Yeah.
I lean on y'all's opinion. Mm-hmm. Because I trust y'all implicitly.
Yeah.
I like them already, and I look forward to getting to know them better and becoming a good meta with them.
Yeah, which we're going to talk about meta-ing and hinging and all those things throughout.
Like Facebook buzzwords.
Yeah, I know it does. Yeah. Like, and there's definitely going to be some more on that, but we'll put a pin in that for now, and we'll come back to it. But yeah, everything in general, kind of in that same vein, is just sort of exhilarating and terrifying right now because we bought this house, we started these relationships. I'm leaving on a business trip in a couple of weeks, or not in a couple of weeks. I'm leaving in a week to be gone for a couple of weeks. And so, yeah, there's lots of new changes at once. What's the vibe check? What's the temperature check? How's everybody feeling?
Anxious.
Yeah. Me too.
A little bit unsettled and trying to get my feet underneath me.
Yeah.
We're getting there. I just went back to work.
Yeah.
I've been therapying the fuck out of the past 4 months.
Yeah, you have.
Just re-entered my job.
Mm-hmm.
They have been very cool
mm-hmm.
throughout all of this and supportive of my abilities and their desire to have me back.
Mm-hmm.
With my knowledge and experience working. And so I've been back to work for a couple of weeks now, and that seems to be going very well. Slowly but surely getting there.
I think honestly, like, that return to routine was really helpful for you.
I think so.
So what about you?
I mean, you said it's only the first 4 months of the year, and all this change has already been on us.
I know. I feel like
I feel like we should already be in December.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because of lifing.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of me is, like, it's kind of always that way with us.
Yeah.
I think we live life on hard mode, whether we want to or not.
I swear I don't ask for it.
We don't. We actually actively look for ways to not have it happen.
Yeah.
But through that, through all of that, we still persevere, and it's because we lean on each other through hard times.
Things are exhilarating. Things are terrifying, but we have each other. And that may sound really cheesy and corny, but, like, if you actually start to dig into that, into the practicalities, there are three of us here supporting one another, and there's a lot of power in that. So I think that that's one of the moments where I'm like, yeah, polyamory is such an anti-capitalist, anti-nuclear family kind of thing. Because I'm sorry, even if you are living within a nuclear family in your home, you should not be reliant only on your nuclear family. This has been my rant, and I am done. So thank you. Thank you for the applause. So we're going to turn on to the theme of our podcast episode, and we're going to be talking today about hinging. So when I kind of got this idea, because whenever I tell someone that I'm polyamorous, and I don't know how you all get this whenever you tell people that you're polyamorous, but immediately people have a bunch of questions and comments. So we created a podcast. but the one like kind of comment that I get a lot is, oh my gosh, two partners, two husbands. Oh my gosh, that would be so amazing. And I love the look on your face, Kendi, because it really says it all. and the thing is that it is amazing, right? Like, I love each of you, and I have these wonderful experiences. I get to live this wonderful life with the both of you and be really fulfilled. And it's also really hard, like really hard some days. And when people hear multiple partners, they tend to really zone in on kind of the feel-good feelings and the ideas that go along with that. Like, oh, I'm going to have all the attention on me. Oh, I'm never going to be bored. I'll be able to explore all these different fantasies. It's going to be great. And the thing is that you do get to do all of that, right? But you also have to accept the reality of the situation, which is that being a hinge and having multiple partners that may not also be involved with each other, is extraordinarily difficult, and it requires a lot of emotional labor. That it's definitely one of the most emotionally intense things that I have ever done in my life. I would say maybe second only to parenting. I don't know how you feel about it, but
I would wholeheartedly agree with you about specifically hinging being a super heavy lift when it comes to polyamory, and especially when it comes to managing emotional labor. But you know, you're already balancing work, life, and family is challenging enough with one partner. But when you throw in multiples into that, it requires so much. It's something we talked about already, consideration of others. But really, it requires a lot of consideration of your own needs and your own limits so that you don't overtax yourself in the quest to try to please everyone else. Obviously, a lot of inner work. Take your therapy, TM, and an enthusiastic willingness to have and update a Google Calendar.
So before we go further, let's go ahead and define the term hinge. So a hinge is the shared partner between two people, and they're called this because in using shapes to describe polycules, they're often the point a shape hinges on. Also because hinges can open and close as a convenient metaphor for describing the relationship between metamors. And this is from the polyamory glossary at readyforpolyamory.com. So within our own polycule, we have a couple of different shapes going on, right? So the three of us, I know that a lot of people call us a triad, but we are not actually a triad per se. We are a V because you two are not romantically involved with one another. And so since you two aren't romantically involved with one another, since Carl and Kendi are not, then I'm the point of contact between the two of them. So I'm sort of like the point on the V, if that makes sense. Yeah, the hinge. And so can you tell me about your experiences being a hinge? Carl, can we start with you?
Let's say I have been a hinge in the past. Not very successfully, but yes. When I started dating Jamie, I had another partner at that time. And for 2.5 months then, until my ex and I split up, I was a hinge between those two partners,
right,
who certainly weren't involved either, but I was in the middle,
yeah,
between those things. So my experience as a hinge was a textbook example of how not to hinge very well.
I'm I'm so sorry. I'm going to stop laughing. Okay, please continue.
My other partner immediately expressed unhappiness with my choice to date Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
While they acknowledged that I had the right to do it, they brought a really unhelpful and condescending tone to all of the discussions that I had with them about my new relationship.
Yeah.
I tried to share with them the things that I loved about Jamie, but I was met with resentment
mm-hmm.
and accusation
from
them. And while certainly that was not a great start and should have been a really strong hint to me that the relationship was going to be going through some pretty rough waters.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised that a couple of months later that relationship ended.
Mm-hmm.
Was too much to try to save.
Yeah.
But the idea that I very much was met with a sort of polyamory for me, but not for the kind of attitude
right.
from them. And they had all kinds of things and backbiting and things to say about the partner that I had chosen, which I didn't appreciate it. And so anyone who has that kind of attitude now sets off a really huge red flag.
Yeah, for sure.
And I would refuse to entertain mm-hmm. a relationship with someone like that for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know what exactly I might have done differently. We could have had more discussions about what introducing a new partner to our dynamic would have been like before I came in and said, oh, by the way, I have somebody already picked out, which is always a wonderful bait and switch to do with your partner. So just discussing what that would look like in a theoretical sense before discussing it in a more specific way certainly would have been more helpful, but I did not do that.
Oh, so y'all had never had a discussion about what that might look like?
Nope.
Oh, I did. I don't think I knew that, actually. Mm-hmm. So, okay. Well, that's revelatory.
I thought that, hey, you know, I could.
Yeah.
You could.
Right. But no actual, like.
But how are we going to actually navigate that?
Yeah.
Not even.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So then I made things doubly worse. I doubled down.
Okay.
By
sorry.
Committing what I think is the number one no-no of hinging, which is oversharing.
Yeah.
And so I had talked about her. I talked to Jamie about the feelings that my ex had, right? Because we were going to have to navigate this, and so I wanted them not to be surprised, you know, by stuff that happened and by that sort of negative energy that happened very immediately.
But it was also really hard because you and I were like really close friends before we started dating, mm-hmm. and you were one of my polyamorous friends that I wasn't dating. And so like I could talk to you about stuff. And then all of a sudden we turned that on its head. So I do think you ought to give yourself a little bit of grace in that regard.
Some of our bonding experiences were in talking about our partners and some of the things mm-hmm. that we were facing. But then we bonded pretty early on in our relationship and talking about the sort of emotional manipulation attempts that our partners were trying to throw on us at the time, which did not work very well. Luckily, we had the emotional support network that we were building enough to see that for the manipulation attempts that they were.
Yeah, for sure.
And were able to get out and escape from those relationships before they became even more toxic.
Yeah, than they already were. Kendi, what about you?
I'm pretty new to being a hinge, and it is extremely difficult.
Well, and I mean, in the planning of this episode, one thing I thought about are you actually a hinge?
Well,
because like there's times I think that you do act in that hinge role, but you're not technically a hinge.
Well, I guess a bit of a chameleon.
Yeah.
When it comes to a polyamorous chameleon.
Yeah.
Because when I think about the shape that you, Sean, and Lisa and I have, you know, mm-hmm. it could be a square with like an X in the middle.
Yeah.
Since we're, by the way, when I am bisexual, so.
I love that you like to slide that on in here every chance you get.
I think some people forget.
Yeah. I mean, look, I get it. As a person who also, well, Okay, I thought that I still passed for straight, but my students did read me for filth about that a while back, and said that I queer. Yeah, so that I no longer passed for straight. So, but I get it. I get it.
Right. Yeah. I'm trying to get more. I'm trying to not pass it straight.
Yeah, you got to advertise, man.
Yeah, the billboard's up.
Yeah.
So yes, so whatever I am, it's mm-hmm. It's obviously hard because we're kind of living in this. In this different space.
Mm-hmm.
So like our style of polyamory is centered around open communication, honest communication. And
which is, I mean, and a lot of that is also wrapped up in like just the dynamic that we have, which is kitchen table polyamory.
Right.
And just to review, in case you're new and you're joining us, we can borrow this term from the polyamory glossary again. So kitchen table polyamory is a style of polyamorous relationship in which the interrelationship of a network and the integration of multiple romantic relationships into one life or group is prioritized. So you can all get together regularly for game night, holidays, birthdays, whatever, and
eclipses,
or just a Tuesday, and sit around, you know, drinking coffee and enjoying each other's company. I would not say that we are necessarily there yet. With this new iteration, like, I feel like we're still in that kind of phase of you don't just show up at somebody's house.
Sure.
You give them time to pick up their laundry.
Yeah.
You don't just show up at their doorstep.
I'm not even in my pajamas yet.
Right, right. But I would say that we're maybe more kind of garden party polyamory, which is sort of, I mean, kind of the same principle of kitchen table, that kind of idea where we can all come together in a room and have fun and be cordial and be friendly, but maybe just not quite as often, and maybe not quite to the depth the kitchen table can get to. Like the three of us are definitely kitchen table at this point. We're literally sitting around my childhood kitchen table recording this podcast in a house we own. But the polycule is at large. I think that we're still kind of developing that. And, like, if it never develops into that, that's also fine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the reality of the situation. So.
But when I, like, conceptualize what a hinge is, you know, I've seen you do it for years.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I am, like, on the other side of it in this kind of this amorphous new role, it's like, yeah, I appreciate you so much. I mean, I appreciate you every day, and I talk about like the seen and unseen work that you do, but I appreciate you so much more because managing a lot of people is not easy.
No, it's not.
While at the same time managing yourself.
Uh-huh.
And
it's a bitch, man.
Putting this into practice is hard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mildest word I can use because it is just something that takes a lot. It takes a lot, and I'm hopeful that I can actually do a good job of that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for me, hinging is where polyamory rubber meets the road. Because, yes, you can conceptualize and you can think about how it would be to be in multiple partnerships or whatever, but hinging is when, like, the first rush of NRE wears off and you're gripped with the reality of the situation. That you hold in your hands a lot of emotional responsibility for two people or more people. And the thing is that their emotions are their own to manage. But I think that sometimes in very toxic non-monogamy situations, we can very easily fall back on, well, those are your emotions and you have to manage them. And we forget that, yeah, they might be their emotions to manage, but we're supposed to actually be there holding their hand along the way and supporting them as they work through this. And the holding the hand along the way and supporting them as they work through this is the job of the hinge. So, and as somebody who has done a lot of hinging, I mean, I've been polyamorous for 15 years and I would say that the majority of those 15 years I have spent as a hinge, like when I actually really start to think about it.
Oh,
so,
yeah, definitely.
And so, yeah, it's something where you should do most of the work as a hinge. This is something that hinges can do, and this is something that hinges should do. So yes, we shoulder a lot of the sort of burden of kind of emotional responsibility. And yeah, that's how it's supposed to be, because we also reap the most benefits from the network of relationships that we're in. And so if you do that, then obviously you're giving out energy, but you are also receiving energy back. But if you don't also advocate for yourself in the process and your own boundaries and your own wants and needs, then it can very quickly become that you're everyone's doormat. And that is something that I have had to navigate previously, because I felt like I was just kind of like everyone's doormat for laying bare their insecurities and not actually doing anything about it. And so I have had to kind of really advocate for myself in more recent years to be like, yeah, well, I'm really sorry about that. I'm happy to help you, but you're also going to need to do X, Y, and Z for yourself. So, right now, like, our polycule has gotten incredibly more intricate, and I would say that it happened really fast, but it didn't. This has been happening for 4 months. It just kind of, we've been in a really weird time warp. But Kendi, you and I are in this really weird space that I've already mentioned, because within this quad relationship that we're in, there are times where we have that partner hat on. Then there are times where we have more of a metamor hat on, but you're never really, like, I don't know, necessarily completely a metamor or completely a hinge in that. So do you want to speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, I kind of touched it a little bit earlier, but really it's, I'm existing between these different spaces simultaneously.
While also being a metamor to Carl, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, like, it's complicated.
Right, right. And so, like, I historically don't multitask well. And so
no, you don't.
And freely to admit that. So I'm working more to navigate through my feelings and through my limits. Because in the past, in my past relationships that have not worked out well, it's because I didn't pay attention to those things. And so I'm trying to navigate mine, you know, worry about, you know, what my partners have informed me of in regard to their feelings, and then fighting against that voice in my head that's assuming things that have never been said.
Right.
I'm just creating for myself it as some catastrophic incident, which, you know, we all do that. But I'm sure if I didn't have like 15 years behind me on this, it would not be good.
And I feel like hinges do an awful lot of... Have you imagined this scenario, like that kind of dialogue to their partners? I have found myself saying that a lot over the past 15 years, like, that's a really interesting feeling you have. Can you show me exactly like why you feel that way? Can you point to some behavior? Can you? And inevitably, like, it often turns out that there's absolutely nothing to go on. And so I feel like hinges do a lot of diffusing of that kind of dialogue. And we've certainly had to do that kind of within the quad over the past couple of weeks of like, did you actually imagine this scenario? Is there actually any truth to this? No. Okay. Well, then maybe you should just calm the fuck down. We have not actually said that to one another.
No.
But I have thought it a little bit.
I can see it in your eyes.
Toward myself, mainly.
I can see that coming back to you.
Yeah. Carl, what have you noticed about this dynamic and this kind of shift and having to – and kind of like watching us juggle these roles while also – I mean, you've become a metamor to two more people, and that's kind of an interesting role for you to have.
I am fortunate in not having to hinge between any of these.
You don't want to live life on hard mode.
Of those relationships,
yeah,
but they certainly affect my life because I am so intertwined.
Yeah,
my life is so connected.
Right.
With everything that y'all are doing.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, I can have a little bit of detachment and a little bit of distance,
but not completely. Yeah.
Game night.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say my metamor role was so easy to assume. With Kendi, because they're one of the sweetest and most giving humans on the planet, and the way in which they welcomed me into, you know, my life and my family that I have created for myself and become much more, I think, the person that I want to be because of that influence was incredibly graceful, and I'm very fortunate to have had Kendi as a meta to help me through that. And I aspire to be half so welcoming as I get to know Sean and Lisa and welcome them into our lives. But ultimately, my meta role here is going to be one of support. I am here to support each of y'all mm-hmm. in everything that, in all of the things, you know, the complex emotional juggling that y'all are having to do. I'm here to support all of y'all in that. And my main job is to stay the fuck out of y'all's business and let those relationships become the relationships that they're meant to be.
Yeah.
And be, you know, share the joys and the happiness. And yeah, I love seeing, you know, y'all being giddy like this. And it's really exciting and fulfilling.
Yeah.
There's a lot of NRE bubbling around.
Yeah, there's so much NRE. Oh, my God. Like, it's, yeah, this is the most NRE I've ever experienced at once in my entire life. And I've experienced a lot before. But yeah, I mean, I love that you kind of brought that up of, like, staying the fuck out and this idea of, like, kind of having an idea of what's going on, but trying not to get too many details because, like, one of the most important things for a Hinge is to consider everyone's feelings and not to overshare. But in this situation, because you're intertwined and because of the situation, because we are so intertwined, because it is a quad relationship, we're all kind of having to write the book. There is no manual for this. And, you know, I've been polyamorous for 15 years and I am polyamoring harder than I ever have before.
That could be the title of your memoir.
Thank you for that. Thank you also for suggesting I write a memoir. So maybe I'll do that with all my spare time. But yeah, I'm definitely living like that kind of hinge mode on hard mode right now. And having to figure out where the line is of what to share, what not to share. And like my working kind of definition of what to share right now is this going to end up on the podcast? If it is, then okay. Is it something that we need to talk about more before it ends up on the podcast? Yes, no. And then, you know, it's kind of whatever at that point. Like today, Kindy, I'm so sorry because I'm about to throw you under the bus.
Do it.
Kindy, for the last 2 months, has been like, oh, I need to eat dairy free. I need to be dairy free. I think I might be lactose intolerant. So I have changed up the way we eat in this house. I have changed the groceries I buy. And what do I find today when I get home from the grocery store? That Kindy has drunk almost all of my cow whey milk protein shakes. So instead of staying dairy free, it's like you've mainlined cow.
It's right in my face.
And I was just like, this, I cannot believe this. And like, I text Lisa and I at that moment and I'm like, okay, I just feel like you need to know that there will be a day that comes very soon where both Kindy and Sean piss you off within like the same 24 hours. And it's going to be like the same flavor of bullshit and you're going to have to deal with it. And so I just like want you to have a plan. That's all I'm saying. And so
it's like when our cycles sync.
Yeah.
And we're both assholes.
Oh my God.
It's Mercury and Gatorade.
Yeah.
It's the eclipse. It's whatever celestial body I can blame it on other than, you know, taking responsibility of being selfish as shit.
It's fine. You're working on it. So
yes.
You're also like genuinely one of the least selfish people I know. It's just that the self-awareness, we're working on that part. But yeah, like that's an example of something that's like, is this something earth-shattering that's going to rock Kindy and I's relationship? No. After being mad for about 10 minutes, was it really fucking funny? Yes.
I can't
say that right now. And so, do I feel bad about texting our girlfriend accusing you of mainlining cow? No, I don't, in fact. So, I don't know. Maybe take advice from me on hinging, but maybe don't do as I do.
I think that's a prime example of being like pointing out some dumb shit.
Right. And I will say that I'm really proud of every single person in this equation, because as we sort of adjusted to these new changes, there's been a lot of humor and there's been a fair amount of grace and things like that. And I think that that is so necessary for this. And I think that that's also necessary for hinging. Like, you've got to be able to laugh at the absurdity of the situation sometimes. Yeah. And that really does count for a lot. So,
but I will say, if I may, the number one thing that you have been absolutely fantastic about through all of this, Jamie, as a hinge, is frequent checking in and communicating
with
us. How are things going? How are you feeling? What's going on? Is there anything that we need to talk about? But even then, the way in which you sort of hold space in your heart to actually make it safe, you know, for me to share feelings and vulnerabilities, has been absolutely fantastic. And I can't imagine being listened to with love like that. It has been absolutely amazing. And I see the actual work that goes behind in doing that, and I'm amazed.
Aww. Well, and I mean, I really admire how you two have held space for one another throughout this process. Can y'all talk about that at all, Kindy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're about to embark on a two-week journey of meta-ing to the max.
Yeah, you are.
And so we're going to be
all while keeping two children alive.
Yeah, we're co-parents.
I have faith in you. I think that you all can do it. I'm like 99% sure.
Yeah, no, you're gonna come back, and they're gonna like be, you know, reading, writing, doing arithmetic.
No, I'm gonna come back, and they're gonna be feral. But anyway,
they're already feral. Let's be honest. But no, you know, checking in with you, Carl, and just like asking these questions, and you and I are, and please tell me if I'm wrong, we keep it close to the vest a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hear you.
Sorry. I'm so sorry. Continue.
I hear you. And so eking out those emotions, eking out what is going on behind the eyes, can be really difficult, but I feel, and I know that from our conversations, that we have the tools in our tool belt to actually access those, to make sure that you and I are not only on the same page, but like willing to work together to help not only James, not only the kids, not only Sean and Lisa, but really make sure that our entire polycule system is okay. And so I'm really happy that we have that connection, because we were friends before you and Jamie even got together. And so we had that.
Indeed.
Already going for
I would,
us.
And I would dispute the idea that the two of us don't have a relationship, because we absolutely do.
Truly.
We are, you are absolutely one of my best friends and one of the people closest to me in my life that I've, you know, shared really, you know, deep conversations and experiences with in ways that reinforce my, you know, my own personal sense of self and have inspired me to grow and become a better partner.
Through that time.
Yeah.
It's like platonic, It's like platonic life partner.
Yes.
Did we just coin this? I think we did. I love it. So, thank you for sharing those vulnerable moments, the two of you. I love you all so much. You're the I'm gonna bring it back around. Or try to. This is something that we all have said at various points in our polyamorous journey. And I'm curious to see if your thoughts on this have changed over the course of the past 4 months. So we've read this, we've heard this, we've said it ourselves, that if you have a problem with your meta, the problem is actually with your partner. Do you both agree with this statement? Because I have found myself personally amending my previous response to this just a little bit. So Kindy, can we start with you?
I think that I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it centers around having an unmet or an unvoiced need from your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And even in like I said, in our kitchen table polyamory style dynamic, I feel like a conversation with that partner about any concerns would hopefully yield a positive result.
Yeah.
But I really feel like if you think there's an issue with the meta, then go to your hinge partner mm-hmm. and find out what's going on between you and them first.
Yeah. What do you think, Carl?
I'll say, well, in my hinge situation, I was the common factor in both of the problems that I discussed. I wasn't being a good hinge, nor was I taking the appropriate responsibility for the relationships that I was in, plural.
Yeah.
Right? So the problems with my ex were pretty pervasive, and the problems that she and Jamie had with each other absolutely stemmed from how I handled and I communicated.
Yeah.
Because as the hinge, right, it's my responsibility to try to broach things and to try to do things in a way that everybody can see the common good, right, hopefully, which mm-hmm. is the flourishing of those relationships.
Yeah.
And taking the responsibility for that ourselves, right? And so rather than letting a partner, you know, snipe or gripe or do something like that about the other one, then bring it back to yourself and go, okay, well, I chose to do this. I chose this relationship, and so your problem is ultimately with me, so deal with it. And it's sometimes a whole lot easier, I think, for a partner to lash out mm-hmm. right, and blame a meta
right.
than actually, you know, look at themselves or look at the partner that they're choosing to be in a relationship with who is choosing these other relationships.
Oh, for sure.
And holding them responsible for their behaviors.
Yeah. It's so much easier to cast the blame completely outside of ourselves. If we could do that all the time, it'd be great. Personally, like, I have found my response to this sort of idea changing. And it might be just because I'm hinging harder than I've ever hinged in my life. But I think that if you have a problem with your meta, it could be an issue with your partner. So, like, in our situation, it was, I love you. It was definitely an issue with you. And I'm happy that we worked through it, and I'm happy that we persevered, and I'm happy that we laid down some boundaries to where that's not going to happen again. But it was a learning experience for me and what I will tolerate and what I won't tolerate. Maybe one of the, like, strongest, honestly, learning experiences of my polyamorous life was that moment, like, kind of figuring out, okay, well, should I stay or should I go? because this is not something that I'm going to be able to tolerate long term. And I mean, I had pause with it from the beginning of the relationship. And then 2.5 months in, when it was kind of like, you know, I can't take this, boundaries are being pushed, whatever.
But ultimately, you sat down and mm-hmm. laid those options out for me.
Right.
And said, you have a choice that you can make.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what do yeah. you do?
I tried really hard not to make it an ultimatum.
And I never felt like it was.
Yeah.
But I was definitely at a crossroads.
Right.
And had a serious, you know, two paths diverged.
Yeah.
Wood moment. And I'm very happy with the choice that I made and the things that I learned.
I'm glad that you've, yeah.
Through that process. But right, obviously, the focus and locus of responsibility was internal.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm glad that you are still happy with that choice, even on the days where our children are feral. And I'm giving you a list of honeydews that's a mile long. So I'm very glad you made the choice you made. So, but yeah, I really do think that it could be an issue with your partner. I also, and I am speaking, I want to be clear, from a place of personal experience, that it could just be some shadow work that you got to slog through. So, and I'm seeing nods of agreement in this. So, you know, we've been dating this couple, and for whatever reason, like, I saw a moment with Kendi and Lisa that made me feel really insecure, deeply insecure, in a way that I have not felt in, I don't even know how long, like, to be completely honest. And that is like a whirlwind of emotions, right? Because you do feel like a little bit like a hinge, but that's also like your other partner. And you're upset about something happening between your two partners, both of whom you are attracted to and care for and all of that. So it's a really, really complex brew. And so I had to really kind of go down, you know, you've talked about this on the podcast before. You start going down that what if worst case scenario and going down that whole rabbit hole. Because if you can go down the rabbit hole and you can see how ridiculous it gets, you pretty much know it's not going to happen. But you also know that if it does happen, you're probably going to be okay, even if it's not okay for a little while. And after that experience, I had to go down that entire rabbit hole. And so, like, I spent a day going down that rabbit hole until I ended up with, well, Kindy and Lisa are going to ride off into the sunset and leave the rest of us here. And first off, if you do that and leave me with these kids, I will come after you. Just so we're, I love the, I don't know, it feels like you're trying to figure out whether you should laugh or be scared.
I kind of live in that space all the time.
I'm so sorry, that caught me off guard. But no, I sort of like, you know, had to go down that whole thing. And, you know, as I'm standing in the shower, like having this thought, trying to work through my feelings, I'm like, well, that's just stupid. That's not going to happen. If they did, also, they wouldn't be polyamorous, so I shouldn't be with them. And so, you know, I had to kind of like have that whole conversation in my head. And she had similar feelings and like really eerily similar about Sean and I. And that's obviously not like the best example of hinging because it is more complicated than just a simple hinging relationship, right? But I do think that there's some truth in there that could be a little universal. And it has me definitely thinking a little bit more expansively about the idea. And I think that there are times where it's absolutely true that the problem is with your partner. And I think that there's also times where there's no problem, really. It's just some shadow work that you got to do and you got to work through. So, yeah, that's where I'm at on that. And there's a whole heap load of other emotional work that I've had to do. But we would be here all evening if I started to get into that. And I have a feeling that we should probably divide that up into episodes. And speaking of episodes, there will be an episode in the future where we do bring Kindy and where we do bring Kindy back, of course. Yeah, man. Recording this on COVID was a choice that we have made.
Everything is content.
Yeah, everything is content. There will be a time where we bring Lisa and Sean on to talk about their experience. We have their full permission to talk about them on this podcast. And we have discussed this extensively over a period of a couple of weeks, coming back to the conversation and doing this as ethically as we possibly can, because this is the first time that we've really dated anyone seriously since developing this platform.
Yeah.
So we're really looking forward to bringing them on and sharing our experiences and getting letting y'all meet them. And I think it's going to be a really captivating conversation. I think it's going to be probably a pretty vulnerable conversation between the five of us. but I think that it's really important to share these stories and to share these experiences because, like I mentioned earlier, there wasn't really a ton in the way of a specific roadmap for this situation. Because this situation is so unique, we are really grateful for other content creators who have shared their journeys in other complicated dynamics. Polyfamory is one that I have referenced a lot, and also Remodeled Love. And so polyfamory is like a quad situation, and they're obviously not as intertwined because the there's no same-sex relationships in that. But it gave me a glimpse at what kind of a really complicated dynamic could be. And some of their ideas for nesting within polyamory are things that we have carried over into our three-person nested household. So, it really does matter that people share these stories and share their experiences. You can read a bunch of books and you can therapize your way through this, and you should. But also hearing the real boots on the ground stories are what has made all the difference for me personally.
Yeah.
So,
I think back to 15 years ago when we started.
Oh my God.
I mean, the minuscule amount of resources that yeah. were available. And then over the years, how things have started to open up. Mm-hmm. And even just talking about being polyamorous.
It's no longer a huge shock to right. people like it was 15 years ago.
Yeah.
I think some people are shocked.
Well, because we don't present it like as if it's something out of the yeah. world. Like, it's just, oh yeah, these are my partners. And it's like, we move on.
Yeah.
And people have no choice but to be like, oh,
well, oh, I guess okay, I can do this. Saddle up. We're going for a ride.
But not into the sunset.
No, absolutely not. No, that is not happening. So, and no matter what my inner voice says, it's not happening. I think that's it for hinging, y'all. Any other final thoughts?
You've been doing a fantastic job. Keep it up.
Aw. Well, I think that you're a bit biased, but thank you.
I would echo his response.
You're also very biased.
That means true, not true.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for tuning in to the Modern Living Family. We're so glad to be back with you. And we promise, we think, that we will not have COVID the next time that we record a podcast. So maybe it'll be a little bit less rambly. You can find us on all the major social media platforms, Facebook, TikTok, Instagram. You can look up our link tree and you can drop us a little tip in our Cash App. And we definitely appreciate that because this is not free to record or produce. So if you have found yourself some wisdom in this, if you found some encouragement, or if you found a laugh, go ahead and just slide a dollar on into that Cash App.
Or if you want to go get some merch.
Yeah, we do have merch now available at Tee Public. So you can get your t-shirt, you can get a sticker, you can get all kinds of things, I believe.
It's on the link tree.
It is, and we will be adding more things to our merch store. So thank you all so much for tuning in, and thank you so much for your patience and waiting for the next episode, as we have been doing a lot of life lately. But we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this journey.
We'll see you.
Appreciate you.
I'm sorry, I spoke over you. Love you.
Love you.